Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today, we get into a conversation around the state of payments in South Africa. And joining us to get into it, we are joined by Mpho Sadiki, who is the Group Managing Director for Merchant Solutions in the Africa regions over at Network International. Oh, greetings to you today.
Good morning. Greetings to you.
Okay, so before we venture too far into the world, we have on this platform engaged with a number of different payments providers, in the past, because fintech tends to be one of those things. It tends to be one of those things that we deal with, quite a bit. And we actually have interacted with the team from Network International, in the past. And I believe we've also interacted with one of the people that was instrumental in getting PayFast off the ground, back in the day, the founder of what's now called Bob Group. So we need to understand just very quickly for the uninitiated
where does everything fit in?
Yes.
So I think I'll give you a very short story of PayFast, and as well as is widely known now as PayFast by Network. So PayFast acquired by Network International in 2021. And really, Network International is a payment service provider that is based out of the Middle East in Dubai, and is Africa's fastest growing digital payments company, which was founded in the Middle East and has been growing across Middle East and Africa. We currently have presence in over 50 markets across Middle East and Africa, where we're serving banks, merchants, and PSPs. So the business of what was then known as DPO Group, which incorporated PayFast, PayGate, and DPO, was acquired by Network International in 2021 to consolidate our product offerings across both Middle East and Africa to ensure that we have presence in Africa and along also with Middle East. We've always had presence in Africa, but not in a direct to merchant product proposition. The presence that we've had in Africa over the years, we're primarily serving banks and telcos as a technology provider. So it is it's a very well-established company, PayFast by Network, as you rightly say. It's one of the leading payment service providers in South Africa. And it continues to grow in its product offering. So for me, I'm very excited to be in this platform to share a little bit about our story and what we're doing to digitize payments in South Africa.
All right. Now, Mpho, there's a lot going on, in the space, and especially for your, particular space around merchants, right? And I think one of the reasons why you and I are discussing PayFast today, and also some of your solutions, is around a new POS platform. For people outside of payments, we talk about POS machines. Those are your point of sale machines, or what people commonly refer to as card machines. But what are we talking about? Are we talking about hardware? Are we talking about software? And I ask that simply because what people know as a quote-unquote card machine has changed. In many respects, I've actually heard some small business owners, sometimes worry about the look and feel of certain card machines, because some of them now look like phones, and now you get scared that someone's gonna think that you're carrying a phone around, etc. So what are we talking about here?
We increasingly want to refer to it as as digital payment solutions, right? So, and I'll take you a little bit back and say, South Africa has over the years been increasingly shifting towards a cashless society. And what do I mean by that? In that, if you play back maybe 10, 15 years ago, one could have easily said that 70% of all retail payments would have been executed, concluded through cash, right? Especially in the semi-formal, informal SME or small, medium-sized, ecosystems. And that cash was dominant there. Now, and it's dominant because access to what you refer today as POS machines was probably an issue, right? Where from a cost perspective, from an accessibility point of view, from a look and feel point of view, from a complexity of solutions point of view, and that was the thing that prevented a lot of SMEs to get access into these types of devices. Now, how we've and why I say we look at it as saying it's digital payment solutions, because you know our foundation, as you like to say, and where we're founded. We're founded in the e-commerce online payments ecosystem. We have over the years crafted the art of delivering seamless digital payments. Now, we've looked into that ecosystem and say, how can we solve for SMEs in a more digital, more seamless way? And hence we've, by look and feel, by, the appearance of it is what you will refer to as a card acceptance machine, but we believe we do it more than that, right? We're launching these terminals in the South African market, which are fully digitally integrated with our online platform. So any merchant that signs up and takes up our solution, by default, they have access to both our online capability if they ever decided to deliver solutions online, but also our what we refer to as in-person digital payments capability. And why do I keep on mentioning this word digital payments? It's because ultimately, if you think about it, whether it's a card or it's a phone or it's some wallet somewhere else, the actual execution of that payment and the way we need to approach it is that it's digital in nature, right? You're taking what today could have been done in cash and you're digitally converting that into and executing that payment from in a digital way. And I think for SMEs who today transact in cash, that ability to digitize all of their transactions into digital data that not only allows them to be able to see how their business is, is performing relative to peers in the respective markets, how they can utilize that data to look at opportunities for growth, opportunities for improvement. But it also allows them to build what I call credit data, right? Visibility of how, credit providers can access, manage, and really assess how their business, can be, provided with credit, can be extended with credit, which is one of the things we build into our solutions. We've actually looked at it into saying, how do we build a digital payment solution that allows merchants to run their own business digitally, seamlessly, that allows merchants to see data in terms of how their business is performing, allows merchants to have access to capital from a merchant lending perspective. And all of that can only happen with having digital payments enabled. And the fourth piece is we've also integrated additional value-added services that generate cash flow for merchants, where merchants, our terminal becomes a VAS distribution terminal, a VAS disbursement terminal, not distribution, disbursement, where they can sell electricity, they can sell airtime, they can sell voucher top-ups, and all of those capabilities are intended to empower this SMEs to shift from what today is a cash-based society or payments ecosystem to a digital payments ecosystem. So you can see that, although it's quite a long explanation, what is trying to shift away is that it is not a simple, what I will call legacy point of sale terminal that you have it and you do payments. Yes, primarily you will do card payments, but there is a little bit more that we continue to build around that terminal. Yeah.
All right. One of the things that is quite apparent is, from everything that you've just said, Mpoh, is this shift or this move away from, I guess, competing on the hardware and more, the software piece, the solutions that are running on top of, these devices, and many of these devices now primarily being run on the Android operating system, all of that, right? Taking us out of the, well, in certain corners of the markets, they would have been Linux based,
OEM operating systems, yes.
Yeah, type of thing. So because of all that, for a company like Network International, maybe I'll use myself as an example. Let's say I am a merchant and I am running, Mudiwa cell phone repairs, right? And I want that ability to, at my shop, I'm busy fixing phones. I want that ability to, be able to accept payments and all of that stuff. And maybe, a couple of things. If someone is in a pinch and they need airtime or something, I can be able to, sell it on to them and all that stuff, right? Where is Network International making their money in that ecosystem? And what makes Network International stand out compared to, the number of different devices that are out there? Because in a hardware paradigm, you go to a number of these merchants and guys will have 3, 4, 5 of these POS machines sitting in their shops, right? So in the current paradigm, what the world that you've just described for us, where we're fighting the battle against cash, where we're trying to put together trading history, trading data, maybe some type of inventory management, but also the ability to disperse value-added services, all of that stuff. How is Network International making the money? And then at the same time, how do you stand out from your competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and foremost, when we design solutions, we design for merchants, right? It doesn't start with how we make money. It starts with how do we make the lives of our customers, our merchants better. I mean, core to our values as the Network International is that we simplify commerce for merchants, businesses, to ensure that their economies thrive, to ensure that their businesses thrive, right? I'm paraphrasing a bit of our value system and purposes. And in that scenario, when we designed the solution, we approached it with what we refer to as a unified commerce mindset, right? And exactly like that, to say we are in a world where what I refer to as in-person everyday payments is a highly competitive, highly a thriving market at the same place, where you've got a number of PSP players that are in the ecosystem. You've got a number of legacy banks that are in the ecosystem. So when we stood back and whiteboarded this approach, we said there's quite a number of things we needed to solve for first, right? So one is, how do you build a solution that's unified for the merchants? As you rightly say, allows them to run their business better, integrated with an inventory management system, accessible on multiple channels, online, offline. So that unified commerce solution is the first differentiator that we put out and say, we will build a solution that makes the lives of the merchants easier. Second is, we know, as you rightly put it, yes, you have some merchants that will, an average merchants will have 2.1 terminals on their business. In some cases, they have a backup from another provider. So all of those comes at a cost. So either outright purchase, which some of our competitors in the market do that, or a rental model. We've taken a call that the biggest barrier, especially the SME, cash-intensive microeconomies in South Africa, that upfront cost to purchase a terminal is an inhibitor. That monthly rental cost to rent a terminal is an inhibitor. So we'll make the terminal free to the merchant, right? Third is, as you rightly put it, what other value propositions do you put that allows the merchant to generate cash and generate revenues on their business? And that is where the disbursement of airtime, fares, vouchers comes into play. And then lending. Lending is the fifth piece that we put into us. So those five things differentiate ourselves, right? And make sure that we stand out, right? Now, when it comes to the cost, for us, there's quite a number of things that are critical in how we support merchants in this ecosystem. So the actual cost of accepting payments in our ecosystem ranges anywhere from, 2.5% to accept cards downwards, and that's public information that we've readily made available. And it is also, quite competitive relative to what is out there in the market in those sort of SME segments and the target merchants that we're going after. So the cost really that a merchant, outside of the benefits that they will enjoy from the terminal, is the cost of accepting the payment, which is the 2.5% as I highlighted across multiple payment methods, and secondly the cost of the actual data, right, that will be used on that terminal, and that's the, if you look at what's in the market today, where a merchant either has to pay rental for the terminal plus the data plus probably a very high merchant services commission, and you look at where we're entering quite aggressively, both on a terminal and a price point perspective, to truly, truly lower the cost of payment acceptance for merchants. And we've, beyond all of the five value-added services, we will truly make this a digital proposition for our merchants. So we want it to be a straight-through application process where there is no what I refer to as interventions in the process. You can sit on your couch as an SME, as an entrepreneur, through your tablet, phone, or computer, apply for this merchant proposition. And within 24 to 48 hours later, depending on where you are in the country, so, sort of metro environment, you will have your terminal delivered to your door free of any costs, and you're ready to trade. So again, putting a merchant mindset first is saying, how do we empower merchants to trade faster, immediately, and get going? And that's why we've invested quite heavily on the logistics partnerships that we've struck, along with the onboarding systems, to ensure that I can sit on my couch, apply today, and have my terminal by Thursday, and I'm ready to transact on Friday. So if I'm chasing that weekend market, I don't have, like, if you engage some of the legacy payment solution providers, you will wait 2 weeks, and you miss your market, and you'll still do it in cash.
Very quickly, you've clarified the cost of acquisition piece, the fact that the devices come for free. But there's the other components that have typically come with, POS maintenance, such as your rent and, all of that stuff. For you guys, where do you guys sit on that front for the other types of costs?
So, as you rightly say, so our terminal, we issue it out to all our, merchants. They will get it for free. There is no monthly rental cost that is associated with the terminal. We've gone on a digital-first mindset. So, of course, you do have some merchants that will still prefer the legacy printout terminal, but we're seeing and observing that the market is slowly transitioning to a digital receipt type of terminal. So a lot of our terminals that will be issuing out the merchants are, as you rightly have seen it, they look like a phone. They can easily email, SMS, a digital receipt to the payer, or in most cases, payers that are utilizing the payment wallets like Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, and the likes, normally don't take the digital receipt because the device itself that they use carry that digital receipt at location of where they did. So you already eliminate a very big running cost for the merchant in terms of buying tally rolls and all of those things to support their device. So we don't have any rental. As I rightly say, the only recurring monthly cost that a merchant will incur is, of course, the cost of the transaction and plus the cost of the monthly data consumption that the terminal will use, which is currently priced at 49 rands per month. So that's the sort of running costs that we have. For any merchant today who's either working with the traditional bank providers and is today paying rental, and any merchant today who's looking to transition from cash acceptance to digital payments acceptance, significant inhibitor of saying, hey, I need to have, if not close to 1,000 rand in upfront cost to buy a terminal outright, or I need to have a provision for a monthly rental. This is one of the biggest things we've taken up. And we said to all merchants, you sign up with us, you will get the terminal and you will transact.
No, very nice. Can I confirm, are you guys the first to bring this approach, into the market when it comes to, being able to give devices for free and the structure, the fee structure that you've come up with?
I will say, the market has been progressively transitioning from legacy rental models to outright purchase. We are the first that has taken it a step further and say, we will invest in the actual acceptance terminal on behalf of the merchant, and we will take it to the market and provide it to the merchants free of charge. So yes, we've taken that bold step, and we believe that's the right approach to take, especially for SME merchants who are making or ends meet to get their businesses off, to get to access that cash flow that needs to be generated with on digital payments. So we as I said, for us it's all about empowerment. It's about how do we empower our merchants to run and grow their business, right? And that's the core thing that we believe in. And an important statement, I think, for me to call out, is just in relation to your question, is that core to why we're doing what we're doing is, again, the belief that we want to be the partner to merchants to grow in their business. We want to be that enabler for merchants to grow their business. And providing this holistic unified payment solution for merchants that is digitally first in approach. So for us is to say, you don't need to take a device that could print a receipt. We will give you one that doesn't need to print a receipt. We have incorporated in the payment experience, and wouldn't say we're the first, but we've taken out all of that into that, things like tipping. We've incorporated that into the payment experience. You can easily enter into tips. We have done where today you have what I refer to as physical integration. So you go to a traditional retailer. Your point of sale terminal is connected to the retail POS system through cables and wiring, so a wired solution. We've built our solution that it could be wireless in terms of So for more sophisticated merchants, we are able to deliver a wireless integrated solution that eliminate a lot of costs, because the actual building of the stand, the cabling, the maintenance of the cabling, it's costs that retailers face that we're looking into that and say, how do you shift that out of the ecosystem and create a more efficient and more cost-effective payment acceptance solution?
You know, as you're talking, a couple of things spring to mind, you know, just around the state of payments in a country like South Africa, people's ability to accept digital payments, the consumer's appetite to be able to do a digital type of payments, the fact that people are carrying, you know, less cash around. And, you know, I guess you're able to create a little bit more accountability, etc. I have one or two questions when it comes to the fight against cash and, you know, getting more of these devices into people's hands. I always ask fintech operators and payments providers, what are we doing and saying about the car guards and the taxi industry?
Yes.
That's, the easy one.
The easy ones.
You know, I had a look at the SAAB about a month ago released the State of Pay report, right? Which is, it's a research they did over 2023. And I think an interesting, and it speaks to your point, an interesting point to note. They noted that cash in payments, and this is, I think they interviewed just over 3,000 different sets of consumers across the country, across the different metros. And they found that cash still dominated 56% of all retail payments. And by retail payments, I'm not really talking about to the shop. It's what I refer to as everyday payments. Every scenario where you had to pay something, taxi, car guard, whatever you refer to it, cash was still 56%, right? And debit cards were around 34%, and the rest credit, you know, wallets, vouchers accounted for 10%, right, of the total payments. Now, there's, I guess, the power of cash and why going from a cash-rich environment to, you know, I would say a cashless, transitioning to a cashless digital society. One, always to take into account that while cash is powerful, cash is instant. Right. In nature, right? So the gratification, the settlement, the exchange is instant, right? Now, if you are going to tackle environments like, you know, let's start with car guards, right? So car guards and the like, you have multiple solutions that one can look into, and that's we've deployed some, and other players in the ecosystem have, you know, people have explored QRs, right, as a form of card tipping. There is faster instant payment solutions that the market has launched that also create that platform for card tipping. I think the one that probably will have the biggest impact as it starts to gain traction is what I refer to as commonly referred to in the market as soft pause. So what does that mean? So soft pause, in a sense, refers to a very secure application that we will deploy beyond our pause launch into the market, that you can download on your phone, and that software converts your phone to becoming a payment acceptance terminal, right? So that's, I see that as one of the enablers that will allow for people like car guards to because then it's low cost. He's running on his own terminal, but there's still a journey, because there's a journey of Paul having to trust that I'm happy to tap my phone or my card against somebody else's phone. So it's a journey, right? I mean, I remember I've been in this business close on to 18 years. That shift from EMV, I mean, from signature on a card to EMV on PIN though we had communicated to consumers market and said your signature is no longer required, to a point where we even write it on the receipt, the merchant still insisted that you sign, right? They'll scratch out what was written on the receipt and say, sign here, right? So consumer trust will take some time. I think car guards, you will have to solve for that through either soft POS solutions. I think us introducing terminals which are progressively becoming cheaper. I don't see this current set of terminals as the right solution for car guards. I probably think there is the next low-cost evolution of terminals of car guards we use. Taxis, it's a different environment. I think in the taxi ecosystem, it's not a take a payment terminal, a POS terminal that works in a restaurant and put in a taxi and assume that it'll work. You need to solution. And the most important thing you need to appreciate is that it functions in an instant environment. So cash works in that environment in the context that the driver is in itself a micro entrepreneur. They have to, you know, they take the cash. In that cash, they have to do their running costs for the day. And then they have a running contribution or end of day contribution that they need to pay over to the taxi owner. Until you understand that ecosystem and build a solution that talks to that, you will not be able to solve it. So I think for us as a business, we've just entered the in-person payments world. We will be looking at partnerships to say, how do we collaborate with the various role players in the sector to build a solution bottoms up. I've worked in the banking ecosystem. I've worked been involved in industry projects where we're launching instant payment capabilities. I appreciate that the taxi environment to transition that into a cashless, you know, less cash environment, the solution needs to incorporate the driver, the passengers, and the taxi owner, and the verticals that sits around that. So the petrol, the fuel stations, the secondhand parts shops that, you know, those drivers go to buy parts in, you know, intraday, the micro repairers that are in the taxi ranks that are actually replacing the fuel filters intraday, while that taxi is, if you don't consider that whole ecosystem and the power that cash plays in enabling that, you won't solve for it, right? And so, do we have an answer today? I will safely say no. We have a payment capability. It will probably cover 2%, and then you can deploy 200,000 point of sale terminals to 200,000 taxis. You will probably cover less than 10% of the payments done there, because we have not solved for the.
I think where I want us to end off, Mpo, especially given everything that you've just said, the informality that comes with some of these use cases, I always pick on car guards and taxis, because I think they cut across a lot of the socio-economic makeup of South Africa. Taxis are probably the biggest or the most dominant form of transport system in the country.
And the most efficient, in my view. You know, it gets the economy going.
Yeah.
It could be an unpopular view, but that's my view. It works.
It works, and depending on the numbers that you have, you know, 300,000 or so taxis around the country, and I think they say over a million rides, you know, every single day with people commuting, you know, all of that stuff. Then that's one. But the other one on the car guards aspect is that in a typical sense, the interaction around car guards tends to be an interaction between people of different socioeconomic spheres, right? You've got one set that's meant to pay the car guard that doesn't want to carry cash, but you've got another set, the car guard, who typically is using or would prefer to be paid in cash, right? So solving for that mismatch in the market has always just seemed like a very interesting, what you call this, dynamic. I've seen people attacking it in different ways. A lot of people have resorted to, you know, maybe using e-wallet and, you know, that type of thing. Some people will literally go and specifically withdraw money just for those specific types of interactions. But where I want to end off is, you are, you mentioned at the beginning that as Network International, you've always had a presence on the African continent through PayFast, right? When it comes to this war on cash, you don't have to tell us about the whole African region, but maybe, you know, maybe one or two countries or regions that are interesting to you, and how the fight against cash is happening, how the dynamics are playing out, you know, somewhere else. Because I think looking outside can help people to appreciate what's happening. Yeah.
It's a very important point you make, right? Because Africa, as we all always say, is that it's not a country, it's a continent of 50 plus countries with what, 6 regions, you know, all with different dynamics. Now, you look at the East Africa ecosystem, Kenya, Tanzania, and the Rwanda as you know, sort of key markets to look into. The most dominant form of payment there, you still have a cash, you know, so they're also in a transition to a cashless society, but the most dominant form of payments there is mobile money, right? Whereas you look at Southern Africa with the exclusion of Zambia, because Zambia is leans a bit east in its approach. I see more mobile money payments than card payments. Southern Africa is, you know, the journey to addressing cash is the deployment of payment acceptance, but primarily dominated by card payments. East Africa, if you're deploying an in-person or online payment solution without mobile money acceptance, you miss out on a huge chunk of the population. So then I superimpose West Africa, right? And then you look at Nigeria, for example. Nigeria, there are two dominant solutions there that are tackling the cash ecosystem. One, you've got what they refer to as instant funds transfers, so what we call EFT here, where on everyday payments, it is one of the leading payment methods for everyday payments. I just send you money over to your account and it's instant, right? In addition to instant funds transfer, they've launched their own domestic card scheme called VEV, which it's also issued locally and works locally. So you've got those two. I mean, every time I'm in Nigeria, I'll ask a lot of people, you know, when last did you carry your card? And most people will tell you, I don't even carry my card. I don't need my card anywhere with me because I have, as long as I know your account number, I'll send you money and you'll get it instantly, right? And so that's there in West Africa, the cash, the strategy to digitize the economy is on instant EFT and VEV, whereas in East Africa, it's mobile money. Mobile money is where transactions happen, is where, and across all of the telco providers, and that's where you're seeing that transition to where every form of payment, whether it be bill payments, whether it be tips, whether it be in-store payments, is primarily done through a mobile money a payment versus a card payment versus a cash payment, right? And then, yes, South Africa, we're better because I think our banking ecosystem is quite mature. We are well carded, as I call it, and also quite a significant number of the population has a bank account in South Africa. So it is very easy for people to have a card. But what you tend to see happening in the lower LSMs is that though people are carded, though they receive payments digitally, they still go and cash it out in the ATMs. And this solutions we're launching into those markets is to try and limit that journey to go and cash out. Because if the reason people cash out, the reason my mother will have cash in the village where I grew up, and is because the probably a very topical issue, right? Spaza shops in the current context of Africa, right? But let's call it the micro entrepreneurs, because you know when you use spaza shops, people have different connotations. The village micro entrepreneurs there, right? The reason I need cash is because they don't have a digital acceptance solution. Now, my vision, my definition of success is when we see those network terminals spread through the length and breadth of South Africa in the smaller villages, where somebody who runs a micro business would have never had the opportunity in that village to buy a terminal, let alone rent it. They have access to it, and then now people can digitally buy. I've seen and observed multiple rural areas across South Africa, and I take a snapshot, say 2006 and or 2004 and 2024. So it was 20 years later, and you say the very same tavern, the very same spaza shop, the very same general dealer. 2004 was a cash only environment. 2024, you will always find that if you go even to the most remote of rural areas in Africa, you're starting to see digital payments acceptance solutions reaching those markets. And our intention is to add to that journey, is to reach even more micro entrepreneurs, to reach more SMEs, and transition them to the digital economy, and do our bit in financial inclusion. So as a merchant business, financial inclusion for us is enabling SMEs to digitize their business. And in doing so, you know, you get a more digital society.
So that's how we wrap up today's discussion. It has been a great one, just talking about the state of payments in South Africa and some of the ways in which companies like Network International are working to solve for the pain points that a lot of people have when it comes to digital payments. Like what Mpo said, what everyone is fighting, you know, with when it comes to cash is first accessibility, you know, of being able to accept or to have one's digital payments processed. And then the second issue is the instant, you know, access to one's money, because when it comes to a cash transaction, it's instant. You give someone the money and it's done. You know, there's no the perception is that it's just a faster way of doing things, you know, albeit there are security concerns and store of value concerns and, you know, all of these things that people tend to deal with on a daily basis. But he's just saying that if you make certain things easier, and in their case, they've gone and decided to take out the cost of acquisition for terminals when it comes to merchants, and you know, to use his word, going into the market aggressively, you know, as a way to get more of these machines into, you know, people's hands, make them more ubiquitous. But the actual competition happening, you know, not on the hardware but rather the software that is being run by these types of machines, also giving us some insight into, you know, what fee structures look like, also giving us some insight into some of the pain points for merchants and how they're solving for them, and you know, also giving us some insight into, you know, the things on a macro level that are still holding back digital payments. I think the number that he gave, you know, based on the South African Reserve Bank, is 56% of retail cash transactions. And by that, we're just talking about the normal things that people are doing on a daily basis. 56% of that is being done still by cash. And I think what he spoke about later on, where you still have a lot of villages and, you know, where you still need to use your cash, a lot of those transaction interactions, such as with car guards, your taxi industry, you know, where there's still the perception that, you know, would rather just use cash, or there just isn't the infrastructure in place to accept digital payments, then those are all the things that Network International and the rest of their comrades in the industry will continue to try and solve for. So really great just chatting. We were in conversation with Mpho Sadiki. He is the Group Managing Director for Merchant Solutions in Africa over at Network International. Mpho, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.